Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Orange Kids Podcast. My name is Mike, and sitting around the table with me today, I have some friends. I have Missy Purcell. Hi, Missy.
Hello.
And I have Phil Summers. Hey, Phil.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, man. So Phil is joining us from, Phil, you live in New York, the state of New York, but you what part of New York do you live in?
I am from Long Island, New York. Boom. I am about an hour east of Manhattan.
Got it. And Missy is here live with us in studio. And you might be saying, wait a minute, where is Gina and where is Kellen? Well, today's episode is going to be a little bit different because we wanted to jump on here and we wanted to talk about what is going on in our world today. And as you guys know, it is the situation with the coronavirus. And so we wanted to call an audible from our normal podcast scheduling, and we couldn't wait for Kellen and Gina to fly in from LA and from Nashville. So we just said, hey, let's just grab some friends. Now, the reason why I grabbed Missy and I grabbed Phil is because they are orange specialists for us at our organization. And an orange specialist is, what would you say, Missy? An orange specialist is what?
An orange specialist is a ministry friend, coach, counselor, just that person that walks beside you as you're doing ministry. And we get to walk alongside as you're preparing your next Kidmen event, launching your Kidmen, and maybe even figuring out what to do when things don't go the way they're supposed to go.
Yep. No, our orange specialists, I think, are the secret sauce to orange. And I heard somebody describe this about orange specialists, and they said it's like, Tom Shifshunas said this, he said, it's like joining the gym and getting the trainer for free, right? So it's
perfect.
Like you
yes.
have somebody who's going to be there to coach you, to equip you, to motivate you, to encourage you, just all those things. And so Missy and Phil are orange specialists, and in their roles as orange specialists, they work with literally hundreds and hundreds of our church partners. And Missy, you have the state of Georgia.
Yes.
And Phil, your territory is?
I have the Northeast.
Got it.
And for us, that can stretch anywhere from Maine down to Virginia.
Got it.
So, awesome collection of states.
That's awesome. So not only are they orange specialists working with hundreds and hundreds of church partners of every church shape and size, but they are also a part of their local churches. So Missy, you volunteer at your local church, and Phil, you are on staff at the church you're at, right? Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
That's correct. I'm an elementary kids ministry director. So I am in the trenches with this along with everybody else.
Got it. So I wanted to bring them on to give their perspective, and so thank you guys so much for jumping on here at the last second to do that. So again, we're going to kind of call an audible on what we normally do, and we have new people in here today, and what we wanted to talk about is just talk about, again, the coronavirus, because we're all dealing with it in some way, shape, or form, and we wanted to have a conversation about it, about what we should be doing when we can't do what we normally do, because there are some churches out there impacted, whereas they are canceling their church services. But we also want to talk about what are some things that you should be doing, even if you are meeting together as a church and as a ministry to do that. And so this episode is going to look a little different, and we're going to have some just authentic conversation here and talk about some things that we're experiencing personally and some things that we are doing as an organization to do that. But before we jump into it, we just want to be clear that the purpose of this episode is not to say, hey, here's what you should do or you should cancel your services. No, we're just here to talk about it and offer some practical solutions and some things that you're going to want to think about as you are processing in your own context. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Okay. So let me ask you this, where you guys are at. Let's just get off the bat here. There are some churches that are having service, and there are some churches that are canceling service. Just for context's sake, Missy, the church that you serve at, what is the situation with your church right now as it stands?
So we're currently having church, and the plan is to continue at this point. But what we've done so far is we have reached out to the parents to communicate to them what we're doing to keep them kids safe,
yeah.
that we're aware that something's going on.
Yep.
Coronavirus is out there.
Yep.
And we've looked at our health and safety policies, and they've even made some adaptations to those.
Got it. Okay. So you guys are having service currently as we speak to mm-hmm. do that. Phil, what about you? How does this impact your church community?
Yeah. So we literally just made the decision just a few minutes before starting this recording that we are going to be canceling service for the next two Sundays. So we're moving forward with what's that going to look like in an online experience for families and for just regular attenders to our main service.
Okay.
So for us, last Sunday was a Sunday where we were thinking through what do we need to communicate before we get to that point. So best practices, reminding parents what we already do in our kids ministry spaces. So at this point, we're moving forward with the this is not happening plan.
Gotcha. Okay. So I want to talk about, so I love this angle that you guys are both coming from. Again, being in a local church, working with churches across the country who are wrestling with this. One of you guys is not having church for a couple of weeks. Currently, you guys are. So we're communicating to parents different things. So let's talk about it from the angle of, what if your church is still meeting? And that is, you are gathering for the time being until told otherwise. What are some things, let's talk through some practical things that we as ministry leaders can be doing to make sure that we are providing a safe environment, not just for the kids in our ministry, but for the parents to reassure them about what's going on in our ministry and also our volunteers as well. So let's talk about, you mentioned this, Missy, as far as your best practices for health and safety, and you talked about some of your procedures and stuff. Can you unpack that a little bit more about what you guys are doing?
Yeah. So what we did is our environments where our kids come every week already have amazing policies and procedures for keeping our kids safe. So we recommunicated that policy to all the parents via email. We did make a couple of changes to those that in light of where we are now, this is a little more serious than the average cold or maybe the flu. And so they made a couple of changes to those that fit best in our environment.
Okay.
One of those was that, hey, when you have a fever, maybe don't just stay home for 24 hours, maybe stay home for 7 days.
Gotcha.
That's just kind of showing parents that we are aware that there's something else going on and we're going to respond to that.
Right.
And we have a plan to keep your kids safe. We also made an effort to over communicate that because it was communicated on a kid level.
Yeah.
But then our church also communicated it to the church at large.
Gotcha.
And then even a step further was the following Sunday after that was communicated, there was a paper copy of that same plan. So anyone who asked, we didn't pass out a ton of those,
right,
but they were there for the parents that did ask. And I think it was just really great for the people who are concerned about this and they're worried about this.
Right.
That we have a plan and it's available in a lot of places.
Gotcha. And I love that. And this is like, you know, if your kid had a fever in the last 24 hours, as you mentioned, or if they've had a cough or a headache or fatigue or whatever, it's like those things are standard. And we know them as leaders and our volunteers know them, but parents maybe do not know them. And so I love that idea of communicating it in various different ways through print, through email, through however many medium you can do that. So no, that's great. As far as being flexible in this. So again, let me go back to the health and wellness policy for a second, because that's for the kids. Okay. Mm-hmm. What about your volunteers? Okay. Showing up, is the same standard for them to say, hey, if you've had a fever or if you've had this, it's like you stay home too?
Yes. Yeah. So, I serve as a coach in my local church, and my job is to communicate with a group of first grade small group leaders.
Okay.
And so we got communication from our leaders that we would let them know, hey, if you're not feeling well, this is not the season or the time to show up and, you know, take one for the team and lead.
Yeah.
We probably wouldn't want that anyway, honestly, but even more so in this situation. So just letting them know that it is okay if you don't feel well. We want you to stay home. We want you to stay safe. We want to keep our environment safe as well. And all of the kids that are going to enter into this space. And so just giving them the freedom to say, hey, I'm out this week.
Yeah.
And making sure that they're safe and that they're feeling well and that ultimately we all stay healthy.
Right.
And then another part of that is we did actually have a few people out on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Our attendance was a little bit lower.
Got it.
And so we were down a couple of small group leaders. So we just had to make some plans, figuring out how to maybe split a couple of leaders who maybe serve together, keeping up with our safety policies, maybe joining some groups, maybe a little bit bigger than they normally are.
Right.
But just being flexible that we can still provide programming with our leaders that are there, so that we can honor the people who can't be there.
Gotcha. Phil, how about you in your context? I know you guys are not having services these next two Sundays, but these last couple of weeks, we've all been dealing with it. How did that impact you and what you guys did?
Right. Yeah. So the first thing I think that's really important to mention is the value of internal communication before you hit the send button to external communication to your volunteers, to your family, to your congregation. You know, it's great if you have a wellness policy already in place, but you want to make sure that your, you know, senior leadership is aware of that. If they're crafting an email that's going out to the whole church, we don't, as ministry leaders, want to send an email that has maybe different or conflicting information. So yep. Just want to highlight the importance of, you know, your ministry teams and senior leadership being on the same page there with the communication that's going to go out. And it's likely that you in your kids' ministry environments are already doing a lot of things to be health conscious. And so those are the things we probably don't advertise and tell parents, but I think this is a time where we can just kind of explain what our best practices are to make them feel more comfortable. So in your nursery environment, you probably have a process for disinfecting toys. You know, why not let parents know that this is something we're already doing and we're going to especially make sure that continues to happen in this season. We're probably already having hand sanitizer available in our small group environments or hallways. Let's let parents know that that's a thing. Our bathrooms are cleaned at such and such schedule throughout the morning. So just kind of giving parents a little bit of background of what your current routine is, I think can bring a sense of peace. And then adding to that, whatever you are doing to kind of take things up a notch in this season can bring, you know, some comfort and peace to families who maybe want to come and just want to know that your church is taking all the precautions that they can.
Yeah, no, that's great. Cause that's stuff that most of us are already doing. And it's funny, like in this time, I've gotten so many emails from organizations that I've, you know, visited just a few times. And they're like, hey, here are the precautions that we're taking. We're making sure the bathrooms are clean. We're making sure employees wash their hands. And it's like, man, this is great. But we should probably just be doing this all the time, right? Like, yeah. And so what you're saying feels like, hey, we already do this, but you might, as a parent, your parents might not know that. And so this is the time to lean into that just to communicate, hey, this is what we've already been doing. And then here's a few extra steps that we've added along the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, that's great. And I think what you touched on, Missy, is that, you know, you talked about the permission to our volunteers to, it's okay if you don't show up, right?
Yes.
And I know this is a heightened sense time where people may, just to be cautious, not show up, but it's giving permission almost to them, not just them, but I think this is really to us as the leaders to say, it's okay if these next few weeks or however long, whatever, are just going to be wonky, and that not just your numbers are down, but programming might not go as planned, and this might not happen, and your ratios might have to change. And when all that stuff happens, especially last weekend, because it was not only this we were wrestling with, but daylight savings time and everything else, it was just like, oh, okay, like, you know, you can maybe the temptation is there to feel like, gosh, I'm not doing a good enough job for that. And it's giving yourself permission to say, hey, listen, these are, at least I feel this way, these are uncharted territory that we are in right now, and we just have to do our best to navigate that, right?
Right. Yeah. I was thinking that this is kind of like summer.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think we all kind of are okay with things not being perfect in the summer.
Right.
Leaders are on vacation, kids are coming and going from trips and special events. And so your programming doesn't look the same, your volunteer structure doesn't look the same.
Yeah.
And so I think that this might be an opportunity that you can say, this feels like a little bit like summer. I'm going to be okay with not the perfect number of leaders, still keeping my safety in check, but maybe my large group's a little bit longer to accommodate for maybe a shorter small group time because I'm short on leaders. Do I need maybe more worship time or an extra game?
Yeah.
Or how am I going to combine groups to make sure all groups have two leaders? All that.
Yeah.
Just the things that you would normally do. And remembering that you can do it because you do it every single summer.
Yep.
So this is an opportunity just to run that summer playbook at just a special time.
We're going to be adaptable. We're going to be flexible. We're going to be graceful on both ends because we're just trying to navigate this the best that we can. And I think when it comes, and I would just, this is my opinion, so take it for what it's worth, but I would say in watching the news, and we try not to have it on a whole lot, but there is a sense of panic that can come over people with this, right? And I feel like part of our job during this time as ministry leaders is to bring a sense of calmness as best as we can, right? And I would love for one of you guys to speak into this. And I think this starts with what you talked about, Phil, as far as clearly communicating a plan, clearly communicating what we're going to do. And if this happens, here's what we're going to do. And I think when we can do that as ministry leaders, where we can be we can clearly communicate with confidence, this is what we're going to do. I feel like, you tell me if I'm wrong, I feel like that brings a sense of calmness on people, whereas suppose like we don't know what we're doing, are we meeting, are we not, and if we are, how long are we done, and what about this, and what about that, and it's just like, hey, everybody, I hear you, I'm listening to you, and here is our response as a church and as a children's ministry as well, right?
Right.
Yeah, the other thing I would add to that is, you know, this is an opportunity to have a little bit of fun with your programming. I mean, I can remember being in school as a kid and growing up in New York, there were plenty of days where you go to school and then it starts to snow and school gets canceled and kids are kind of leaving throughout the day whenever their parents can get there or whenever their bus arrives. And so, I don't know, it was kind of a fun memory, even though it was like scary. There's this, you know, dooming snowstorm that's coming and you want to get home. But those memories of there's only a few kids in the room, we're doing something different, our teacher is relating to us differently than a typical school day. Maybe that's like a fun opportunity to have a different type of programming in your environment, and you're still making a memorable experience for those kids. And most importantly, you know, you're going to share that Bible story in a fun way. But I think it could actually turn into a fun memory for the kids that are attending and a part of that, you know, Sunday morning experience.
Yeah. So we've talked about, okay, what do we do in terms of churches that are still meeting? What are some of the precautionary things we can do? The communicating things, here's what we're doing from a health and safety standpoint and our policies and our procedures, and we're going to be flexible and we're going to go with it to see what happens as far as, you know, the number of kids that show up and leaders and all that stuff. But we also know there's a good chunk of churches out there that are having to cancel services. So as we were watching the news last night, and the NBA, you know, canceled the rest of the season temporarily, soccer, Major League Soccer, and the NCAA tournament. And so and we've seen several churches. You guys have had plenty of conversations with churches that have said, we're canceling. That's right, just a few. And Phil, you got the news right before recording this podcast, like, hey, we're not having service.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, what are the options then? And we know that nothing can, you know, really replace the meeting together personally, but what are some things that those churches that are out there that are impacted, or maybe impacted, maybe not now, but maybe later down the road, what are some things that they can do to still stay connected to the kids, to their volunteers, and to the parents in their ministry?
Right. So, I mean, hopefully you have kind of thought through this process and have a couple of ideas and systems in place to contact families and be in touch at a moment's notice. But I think a great thing about the day and age that we're in is that we do have a lot of ways to quickly contact our families through digital connections. So I think there's a great opportunity there to kind of brainstorm how can we digitally send content to families to give them opportunities to still talk through that Bible story you are planning to talk through, to still reflect on whatever that main truth you wanted to pull from that Bible story is, maybe even give them some ideas for a follow-up activity or discussion questions. And of course, that is no replacement for the in-person discipleship that we are doing in our groups on Sundays. But on the flip side, what a great way to use technology and leverage it in this situation, you know?
Yeah, no, that's great. So as far as digital connection ideas, Missy, what are some of the things that you would speak into that?
I would find, as a church, I think about the things that you already do to connect with your families,
Okay. The
platforms that they're already familiar with. So if you're emailing them on a weekly basis, I know some churches use text messaging systems, or mm-hmm. they share files through Vimeo, Dropbox, just different resources that they use. So find what's already working and then leverage that during these weeks to easily get parents information that they need. So if you wanted to record yourself sharing the Bible story, or creating an experience for families at home, or if you already have resources that you use on Sundays, finding a way that you could easily get those to them through what's already comfortable and familiar.
Yeah.
That way it's a safe place that they already know how to use. And now we're just coming where we always come and meeting a need. So I think that's probably the best thing you can do. And then I think following up, with information, kind of like Phil said, maybe emails with follow-up activities, ways to get parents and kids to start communicating.
Yeah.
We know that what happens at home is always way more important.
Yep.
It has a greater impact in a kid's life than what happens in that one little hour that we get on Sundays anyway. And so if we can leverage this time to get parents and kids in the same room, connecting for longer periods of time,
yep,
talking about what matters most, I think it's a win for everyone.
For sure. No, I love what you guys are saying and sharing those ideas. And again, the digital connection, the opportunity that is there, there's so many different platforms and different ways that you can connect with somebody virtually today. But I love what you just said, Missy, is like, you know, instead of trying to like learn a new platform and try something different and new, because we're already in a different and new space right now where like it's a new rhythm, just use what you've already been utilizing to do that. Now, when it comes to creating an online experience, like we know there's plenty of online experiences for adults on a lot of the churches across the country, they just stream their services. But when it comes to getting content out there, what are some of the things, like, does this mean that I should, you know, pre-record myself, and what are the pros and the cons to that? Or is that doing a Facebook live stream and trying to recreate a service? I almost think this is a unique opportunity, again, for such a time as this. It's like maybe just rethinking how we are engaging parents with technology. And instead of trying to recreate a service, we just figure out how to give them the main content, the main point of what we want them to know, and how they can engage with their kids during this time with that, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think that making them the hero,
yeah,
during this time, yeah, you know, giving them what they need, giving them, whether it be a video of you talking or, you know, resources from your environment, and then giving them a conversation piece,
yeah,
or even some kind of activity they can do together.
Sure.
And these are things that I don't even really think you have to spend a lot of time recreating. You probably already do some of these things on Sundays. Maybe you just have to package it a little differently,
right,
through an email, or some other form of communication. But getting the ultimate goal would be to get parents and kids in the room, not just to try to recreate church for them, but to get them connected and learning a new truth together about God. So I think this has great potential to have a really huge side effect that's positive for families.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Phil?
Yeah, I would just add, what you send is probably going to look different depending on your context. So I think, you know, knowing your families really well and then thinking through what would most benefit them. So, you know, maybe all you do is send an email that is purely text, and you're giving them the passage to look up and, you know, a key concept to focus on. And you trust that your parents are capable to, you know, open up the Bible with their kids and have a creative time together. Or, you know, maybe you go as far as sending videos or materials from a curriculum that you're already using, as long as that's in a,
yep,
you know, a safe and approved manner, to make it as easy as possible for parents to have that experience together. I think it's just knowing your parents, knowing your church culture and what they're going to respond to best, and then kind of developing, you know, your resources from there.
Yep. No, that's great. And again, I think utilizing what you already have as far as your current curriculum, if you use video content, just making sure you get permission to stream that, to do that. But I think all of that is great. One of the things that this whole virus situation has stirred up a lot of conversations around our offices about, hey, what are ways that we are going to be able to help, with our church partners, not just our church partners, but just the church in general. Like, how can we come alongside the church and say, for those churches who are, maybe not meeting and maybe don't have a video-based curriculum, what are some things that we can do? And so we've actually put together some tools and some resources to help you do that if that's something that you desire. And we have put together a presentation, video presentation, that has the worship song, it has the Bible story, and we've done that each for preschool and for elementary and for preteen. And we'll have those links in the show notes, and you can find those on orangekidmen.com. So we'll talk about that later on. But let's talk about not just sharing the content in terms of the story with God's word, but let's talk about sharing some other practical content with parents, maybe that goes along with your curriculum, but just some content that maybe is just helpful during these times. Because again, with you got the virus and you've got the news and you've got school closings and you've got sports closings, and with kids are just going to be like, hey, are we okay? Are we safe? And parents are going to, you know, as a parent myself, Missy, as a parent, it's just like, it's going to stir up some conversations. And what are some things that we can maybe put in their hands that would be helpful to help parents navigate some conversations like that?
I think that giving a parent a resource like a blog,
mm-hmm,
or even a resource that you send home that helps them understand how to have a conversation with their kid about what's going on. And there are a lot of great ones out there.
There's a ton popping up on, like, my Facebook stream is full of, it feels like, here's an article on how to talk to kids. Here's a video, here's a this, and here's a that. So they're all out there, but it's trying to filter through those, like, what's going to be the best one to pass. Don't pass along everything to your, let me say that, right?
Yes.
Don't flood everybody with, like, here's the latest, right?
I think what we need to think of is, if I could give parents maybe one or two resources to really help them have some really strong conversation with their kids, what would it be?
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm just thinking, like, I have a third grader, that's my baby. Mm-hmm. And he came home from school one day and he was like, everyone's sick.
Yeah.
And I was like, with what? And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, okay, you know, and I said, how does that make you feel? And he was like, I don't know. He didn't even know how to feel, but clearly what it communicated to me is kids are talking about it at school.
Yes.
He didn't even know the name of it. Yep. He didn't know why it was a big deal. But it was big enough of a deal to come home and tell me about it.
Yes.
And what we did is we just had a simple conversation about what it really was. Right. So I helped him understand, this is what this is. This is where it is. We pulled out a map. We talked about where it was. And then I just kind of reminded him, okay, like, it may make it to where we are at this point. You know, we were having this conversation. It was before it made it to our state.
Yep.
But if it does, like, there's some doctors and really, you know, scientists. I just reassured him of what were truths.
Yep.
So I think if you're going to share a resource, it needs to be something simple that helps parents communicate truths, and helps them address, the issue on an appropriate kid level.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only 8 years old.
Yep.
I talked to my eighth grader a lot different about it. Sure. Like, we're having real conversations. He's making up funny songs about Corona and he's got jokes. He's 13. It's developmentally appropriate for him to be, he's not taking it seriously.
No, my 12-year-old just wants to get out of school. He's like, he's like, I hope somebody gets it at a school. And I'm like, well, buddy, no, you don't, because that could be, but we all, and I'm just like, all right, you know what? We got to have a conversation about this and then do that.
Yes.
So totally agree. And I think, again, there are several things out there. One of the things I think might be beneficial, because my oldest son, the 12-year-old, he has some anxiety issues. And I think if especially if this virus is affecting you, you know, in your region a lot more maybe than some who are maybe more distant from it, it can stir up a lot of stuff in kids. And so I want to point back to one of the episodes, and we'll put that link in the show notes, is Sissy Goff, who is the director of child and adolescent counseling at Daystar Counseling Center in Nashville, Tennessee. We did a podcast episode with her about helping kids process anxiety, and she did a great job. And that could be a practical tool that you could send along to parents just to say, hey, if you got questions that come up, here's a great podcast that you could listen to talk to your parents about. I think another thing that's great is Parent Q. They have put together some conversation guides specific for parents to have with their kids. And there's a guide for preschool, and there's also a guide for elementary as well. And you can download these. We'll put the links in the show notes as well. But again, these are simple, practical tools that, in addition to your content, because you have, you know, the video, and if you have take-home pieces, you know, hopefully the curriculum that you use also has a digital version of that, so you can email it as well. But it's also saying, hey, parents, we're thinking about you, and here's some resources that might be helpful, A, for you, but also here's some things you can do with your kids as well. So again, we'll put all the links for those in the show notes below to do that. Let's talk about one other aspect about not meeting together. We talked about getting content in terms of a service or video, the Bible story, into the hands of families. We've also talked about sharing content with parents to help them through that. But Phil, talk to us about the small group leader side of this. And that is, we talked about encouraging small group leaders to stay connected to families. And I was talking to a church leader yesterday, and I think their church is going to not be meeting for almost a month. And so they're having conversations to say, hey, we're going to pre-record, you know, some messages, and we're going to put them online for the adults and for the students and for the kids and do all that. And so content's not the issue, but they know and recognize that content is not going to be the thing that brings them back. And their concern as a church right now, he was saying, it was like, you know, we're just afraid at the end of a month that a good chunk of people just may not come back. And he's like, the thing that we're trying to focus on is, how do we stay connected relationally during this time of supposed isolation, like not gathering in large groups. So Phil, right. can you talk to us a little bit about the importance of that and maybe some practical things that you, because you guys are going to be living through this for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a time like this that really highlights how important it is for us to have, you know, a small group culture in our churches, because, you know, we as ministry leaders in moments like this, we're not going to have direct access to the kids that come to our church. We can directly contact parents and stay in touch with them and send resources. But as far as that child feeling like they're still seen and known by their church, this is where a small group structure is really going to help lean into that. And if you've already got your small group leaders trained and equipped to connect with kids outside of small group, then they're already set up for success in a situation like this. They probably already know parents and maybe have phone numbers or have addresses. And so what a great opportunity for them to maybe put a card in the mail and say, hey, missed you so much on Sunday. You know, hope you had a good time with your family and just kind of stay connected in written form. I mean, getting something in the mail is like a novelty for kids these days. So that's super exciting for them. Or maybe it's recording a video and just kind of mass sending that out to the parents to show their kids, just to let them see your face and let them see that you're still thinking about them and that you're still praying for them and looking forward to seeing them again on the Sunday when everybody is going to return. But of course, all of those things only work if that small group leader to parent to kid connection is already set up. So if it's not, you still want to think about, as a ministry leader, how can we, you know, equip that small group leader in some simple ways to stay connected, right? So maybe the small group leaders record a video, send it to the ministry leader, and then the ministry leader gets those out to parents, right? If your leaders are not already equipped with contact info and email addresses and they don't have, you know, rosters with them at home, letting a ministry leader take on some of that responsibility just to distribute the communication, I think, is a way around and a way to stay connected during this time. So those are some ideas that I have.
Yeah, no, those are great. And again, I think, you know, if I could encourage our ministry friends out there, it's like during this time is, instead of, our time is limited, right? And so instead of spending a chunk of your time trying to recreate a cool service online, man, I would focus the majority of my energy in trying to figure out how can we keep people relationally connected. And again, we can't do a Google Hangout with our kids' small groups, right? Like, we can't do that, because that's just not going to happen. But how can we leverage that type of technology to stay connected to our leaders, to our parents? And if we're connected to our leaders, it's like, hey, leaders, you know, would love for you guys to touch base with your kids this week in some way, shape, or form. And just trying to figure out, because it can be a logistical nightmare in terms of like the right email addresses to give them to the leaders. And did we have permission to do that? I can't remember. Now I got to go get permission. Do I have the right email address or the phone number? Mm-hmm. And here's how you use this technology. And you might have some leaders to be like, you know, Google Hangout. What's a Google? You know, and so you have all these different things. And so, but I would say that is going to be the key piece that's going to be the most helpful, the relational aspect through this. And, you know, as far as the content side, again, I think if you use a curriculum that has video-based stuff, man, utilize that. Use the stuff that we talked about as far as what we're providing from Orange Kids, but whatever it is, but just focus on that relationship side of things. I think that would be the most valuable thing. So anyways, yeah. Well, you guys, anything else to add to this conversation before we wrap it up, as churches are kind of navigating this whole thing? What would you say?
I think ultimately the best thing we can do for our families is, I mean, obviously resources and helping them have church at home and all the things that we're doing are great. But more importantly, just letting them know that we're in this with them.
Yep.
We're praying with them. We're walking alongside of them. And I think we communicate that so well when we let them know that we are aware, we've responded, and we have a plan for them. So I think that's the best thing that we can do for our families and our leaders and even our kids.
Yeah. Phil, parting words?
Yeah, I would agree. I think this is a great opportunity to partner with parents and to really show them that you are for them and that you're on their side. So do something, whatever that something is that is appropriate for your context, really leverage this opportunity to partner with your parents and to show your kids that you're thinking about them outside of the normal Sunday morning schedule.
Yeah, those are great. You too. Thank you so much for carving out time again. When we all woke up this morning, we did not know we were going to be recording a podcast on this subject to do that. But we felt like with the conversations that we were having with our church partners and seeing the dialogue happening on many KidMen groups, the questions are being asked and churches are looking for answers. And I love the community that's found inside of our Facebook groups, but just Facebook groups in general, where people can bounce ideas off each other. What are you doing? Here's what we're doing. How are you handling this? And so just thank you for sharing your expertise, you two, and especially Phil, you walking through this. And we're like, hey, we're not meeting, and this is what's happening in our world right now. So just great, great, great stuff, both of you. Thank you so much for being on here to do that. And just a reminder to everybody, the things that we talked about here today, some of the resources in terms of, again, the video presentations that have the story and the worship song. We have those available. If you want to use those, you're more than welcome to. We have one for preschool, for elementary, and for preteen, and we'll link that in the show notes of how you can act. Those are just Vimeo links that you can feel free to share however you want. Again, don't forget about that podcast episode with Sissy Goff about helping kids navigate anxiety as a ministry leader, especially for those churches who are meeting. You might have kids come in and say, I've had relatives and people affected by it. How do we deal with this? And then the parent cue pieces that we talked about as far as the conversation guides, all that stuff and some more we will have in the show notes that will hopefully benefit you during this time as you lead through this. And thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of the Orange Kids Podcast. And again, all that stuff that we talked about will be found at the show notes, but you can also find it at orangekidmen.com. That's orangekidmen.com. Phil, thank you. Missy, thank you. And thank you guys so much for listening. And until next time, we'll see you later. Take care. Bye-bye.